Right, audio's now live.
You're all very Skypey to me.
It's your crap internet.
Welcome to Northern Ireland. Mexico.
Northern Mexico. Arriba.
Oh, look, Santa Claus.
Arriba, arriba, arriba!
Okay. Yeah, we've got a Christmas theme.
Woo-hoo.
Kim's seen it.
Yep.
And on our webcam boxes, there's snow on top of our cam boxes.
All right.
Right, tell me when you want the music.
Do it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 454 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is December 23rd, 2017, just 2 days away from Santa Claus coming to town. I am one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And we've got a fun group for tonight's podcast. We've got a lot of people in tonight's podcast. Kind of almost the entire ensemble. We're missing a couple, but we're there. And if you're not familiar with the podcast, we're a gaming podcast. We talk about video games. We talk about life. We're going to be talking about Christmas, and occasionally wine, beer, other alcohol. All of it gets into the mix. It's just a fun time. It's what it's all about. And the best part is you listening at home. If you're listening to this recorded, you can actually listen to it live. We're on every Saturday, 3 p.m. on the West Coast in the U.S., 6 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you are over in the U.K., it's right around 11 o'clock in the evening, your time. And if you live in Bali, apparently it's 7 o'clock in the morning. So start your morning off right with a little Overseas Connection podcast, Bollywood style. All right. Let's dance around this table. Kim, let's start with you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's all good here. You know, it's Christmas almost. So
it is Christmas, Kim. We're going to be circling back to you in a minute because there are some story time stuff with you that I definitely want to get into once we get there. We're not there yet, though. We're doing intros, so from you, I'm going to jump over to my favorite Irishman, Mr. Robin Tate.
Hey, happy Christmas, everybody. Robin Tate at Bongo the Sane here. I am not in the mood in the slightest to talk about games whatsoever. I just want to talk about festive Christmas things and what we've been up to. And I don't care. I don't care what we talk about tonight, as long as we have a good time, because it's not often we have five hoods in the house. Yep. Yep. Yeah. There's people there, you know, with their old chaps and their magic triangles. Who cares? We're all going to talk together. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. I can't wait for Christmas.
It's kind of insane because it reminds me of, I don't know if you're familiar with the show The Brady Bunch, but the way this is all sitting on my screen right now, it's like The Brady Bunch. You guys are looking up and looking down at one another, and, you know, this is a story of a man named – yeah, anyway. Also on the show, Mr. Richard Webster.
Good evening, all. It's your favorite. Never moody. Doesn't argue with anybody. Real no. Rich Webster on Twitter and Big Bad Daddy on most places where they'll have me, where I haven't been banned yet.
Yeah, Mr. Non-Opinion himself, Mr. Webster, yes.
I don't have an opinion on anything.
No, not at all. You are about as vanilla as it comes. Yep, yep.
I'm so laid back, I'm almost Canadian. That's the problem.
Lastly on the show, spinning the discs in the background and drinking the Baileys, from what I understand.
Yeah, back on the Baileys. This is my second glass.
Mr. Mark Ryan. Slow down, yes. Slow down.
Yeah, I'm not used to it. Once a year you got to do it, haven't you? Yes, mechanics on everything. So, yep, Merry Christmas, everyone. Big show tonight, I think.
It is a big show and not a big show.
Yeah.
I mean, we next to nothing to talk about in terms of video game news.
There's lots of new releases.
There's a ton of there's no new releases. There's experiences though that we're going to talk about. There's Christmas stuff happening that we certainly will be talking about. And then, of course, life stuff, which leads me to story time and circling back to Kim. Mark, play me a jingle real quick.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Just festive in it up a bit.
All right, Kim, I see on here, and I don't know what to make of this, so please enlighten me with your story time.
Yeah, I'm interested what the last two bits, how they link together as well, if they do link together.
Oh, they do.
My mum always used to say, eat one of them and it helps you go. But anyway, carry on, Kim.
It's sort of like that. All right. It's kind of a funny thing. Here the other day, what was it? I think it was Thursday. My brother-in-law stops in and he asked to borrow my plunger, which, yeah, I really didn't think anything about it, but I'm like, okay. And he says, well, he says this morning something happened when I went to work, and he says my sister called him and their toilet would not flush. Okay, right. No, not a big thing, because you're thinking to yourself, it happens, you know.
I don't know what's coming here.
So anyway, so I didn't think anything of it, and he's looking around, you know, he's talking to Tony and all this and the other, and we're talking about the toilet not working, and all of a sudden my little nephew Tony stops, and he looks at my brother-in-law, and he says, well, Mommy went in there the other day, and I think she flushed an orange. And we're kind of looking at him, because he's four, you know, right. Is it a story, is he telling the truth, you know, what's happening? So, you know, my brother-in-law Bruce looks at Tony, and he says, oh, really? Mommy flushed an orange? And, of course, Tony being Tony kind of backpedals, and he's like, yeah, she flushed an orange. So we're moving the story along, and he goes down to the house and, of course, works on it and can't get it to work. So here they're last night. They're kind of wondering if maybe, you know, Tony's not telling the truth, that maybe there was an orange flushed, but maybe it wasn't Mommy that did the flushing of the orange. Right. So they get down there tomorrow, and they have to take the entire toilet apart because they can't. Whatever this thing is, they can't get it to go through all the way. So they take the toilet up, and sure enough, lo and behold, what did they find in the toilet? A clementine, which is like a small orange. And according to Tony, his story is that he went in there to go to the bathroom, and he was eating a clementine at the time, and he was trying to flush the toilet, and in the process of flushing the toilet, he dropped the clementine as the toilet was flushing. So
It happens with my mobile phone all the time. Yes. So, you know, fair play to Tony.
We had the exact same thing years ago when my two were little. I was at work and Jenny rang me up and said, oh, I'm going to have to call a plumber. The toilet's completely blocked. The plumber came out and found an apple in the U-bend. Ah. So exactly the same scenario, but different fruit. Yeah.
Yep.
Kids.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kids.
Yeah, but what I do like about the story is that Tony's first instinct was to blame Mom.
He just threw her right under the bus.
Yeah, I think my two blamed each other. So,
I hope you made the little bastard eat the orange.
No. But,
teach him.
He's officially been banned from eating clementines in the bathroom. So, you know.
I would just like to throw out there, he never really should have been allowed to eat oranges in the bathtub.
I'm with you on this, but, you know, what can you do?
Certain things shouldn't mix. Food and toilet. That's a sure way to get yourself sick.
Agreed. Because he's never done anything like that up here. Because at first we were all thinking that maybe he just flushed it to flush it, but no, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like what he said. He was packing it with him, and he went to the bathroom, and, you know, one thing led to another, and he couldn't operate the little silver thing and the clementine at the same time, so something had to go.
So by all means, toss the clementine in the toilet and then proceed to flush.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. From that story, we will move over to your diagonal on my end. Mr. Webster, anything you would like to talk about? Story time wise.
Yeah, actually.
Now, wait a minute. We have to preface this with that this will in no way entail any kind of opinion or strong affiliation from you. This will be completely vanilla, watered down, right? That's what we're going to hear, right?
It will. In fact,
I got the coffee chocolate. Ugh.
How are we going to do this, actually? I want to show you something. Right. Okay.
Oh boy.
I don't know how this is going to work.
I want to show you. Hey, where is it?
Rich, is this the first time you've been on since you became almost happy harried? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You need to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good story to have. Mm.
You're
Carcassonne.
Right. It
Carcassonne,
is.
Carcassonne, baby.
It is.
I do see the mustache is coming back into fashion with you, by the way, as you're looking for this.
No, yeah, I just haven't shaved for about 2 weeks.
Right. That would be like a month worth for me.
There we go. Right. This is a funny video I want to show you.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. See how this will play.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll come across on the old stream very well, but we'll try it, eh? We'll try it. You know what I mean? Life is about trying things.
It's all about trying.
Now, hold on. Can you hear this okay?
Paul, you know,
yes.
A lot of people ask me, after a long day...
Okay, I'll do the video as well.
Uh-oh,
this is going to be
sick.
Weird. Right, are you ready?
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay.
So let's do this.
Let's do this.
We're doing this live.
Okay. Everybody, it's Paul. You know, a lot of people ask me, after a long day of voiceover or writing or doing all those creative things that I do, how do I relax? Well, like many other Americans, I come home and I pet my dog. You see, petting your dog is one of the most relaxing things you can possibly do. It releases a hormone called oxytocin, which reduces stress. Also, it lowers your heart rate and it lowers your blood pressure. Plus, people who pet their dogs are 5 times more likely to live longer than people who just have cats. Plus, the dogs like it so much, and it's a nice bonding experience.
Throw the dog. Throw the dog. Please throw the dog.
For those that are just getting audio, this dog was literally trying to bite this guy's hand off the entire time of that video. That was brilliant.
That was a large rat.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, calling it a dog, disingenuous.
Like many Americans, I like to pet my dog. Destroy his hand. So that basically describes my week, really.
Okay.
A dog is destroying your hand?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Cheers to you. Cheers to you. All right. Let's,
yeah, Duke
let's
knows
talk
all about
the most
dogs
important thing,
hands.
Rich. Most importantly, let's talk about the engagement. It has happened. You are now on your way to ruining your life. I mean, being happy forever.
Yeah, have you said goodbye to all your friends?
That's why I've come on the show tonight, actually, to let you know.
Right.
It's the last time. No, it's great. She's downstairs now making me some honey roast ham for tomorrow, so...
Yay!
You've got to keep them mean to keep them keen. That's the idea.
That's what I've been going wrong the last 20-odd years.
Treat them mean to keep them mean.
As Mark said earlier, that's the right place for them. So, and I totally disagree with Mark. I think it's a horrible opinion to have, Mark. It really is.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are not those of myself, Robin, Rich, Kim, just Mark.
Yeah, you see, like, I'm a modern man, you see. Like, I don't think a woman should only belong in the kitchen. There is another room she's allowed in as well. That's just my opinion. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so right, yeah, you're digging a hole, right? So, did you take any of our advice? You know, about asking her how to marry you and or would she marry you and stuff like that? There, or what did you do?
Let me tell the story because I'm not actually that much of a cunt. I know I seem like it on like Twitter and stuff, right? So I've been with my girlfriend now for coming up for 3 years, I think. Yeah, 3 years. And I've spoken to her every day, every single day for the last 3.5 years. Without
okay.
fail.
Right.
We went to the south of France for our Christmas holiday this year. So we went for like 4 days. We went a couple of weeks ago. A place called Carcassonne, which the game is named after.
I thought the place was named after the game. Is that not right?
No, the place is very old, mate. Medieval.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you sure they didn't build it when they got that board game and they just built it?
That's what I heard. You know?
The game's pretty old.
I mean, what was cool was they sold Carcassonne board games in the castle. like if gift shop. So that was quite cool. So we were in Carcassonne. For those who don't know, it's a medieval city. It's got this massive castle, this amazing castle walls, really old historic French town, lovely river and stuff. And on the first day, we went to the castle and we were on the ramparts of the castle, the outer wall, looking out. It was that kind of weather where it was like just moments away from snowing, and it did snow later on. It was very dark, very cold. We were there just alone on these walls, and I got down on one knee and I pulled out this ring and I said to her, I said, I want you to always be my co-op partner. I want us both to watch, binge watch shit on Netflix and eat crap till death do us part.
Fucking William Shakespeare couldn't have done it better.
Oh, not at all.
And she said yes. So we're engaged.
Did she know it was coming? Did she know it was going to happen?
She said afterwards that she could tell that I was being weird because I was like, right.
Hold on. Whoa. Weirder.
Yeah. Something else was more weird. Because for like 5 minutes before, I sort of saw that place. As men, we sort of like, we see something and we're like, right, that's it. And then that's all we can focus on. So I knew for like 5 minutes before, that's the specific spot where I want to ask her. So then we got right to there and we were looking over the walls. And then I got like dead nervous. And she was like, right, should we go and have some food? And I was like, no, let's just look on this side of the wall a sec.
Right, let's go.
Let's back over right that side a second just to have a look. And then I just sort of like stood there like, and then just got down on one knee. I was like, all right, let's just do this right here.
And she said,
disappointed!
She said, yeah. And then we went into the castle town, this medieval town. It's like all these tiny little buildings and stuff. And then we had our French meal. And then as we went out and got a taxi back to the hotel, it started snowing. So it was very nice, very romantic.
Lovely. Very romantic.
Yes, yeah. Very romantic.
The idea is basically find someone, right? Find a person who will absolutely put up with your shit and don't ever let them go. That's the tip.
That is a good premise in theory to follow. Yes. I plan on keeping my wife, but she absolutely will not put up with my shit. But Rich, congratulations. That's, I think, the biggest thing that we should be saying is congratulations.
Thanks, mate. I mean, it's about time I got married, you know, for the first time. It's a good time to get married now. You know, get the first one out of the way while I'm young.
Wrong way to approach it, Rich. I'm just saying, again, don't let her say that.
Rich, what did you know? What did you?
What'd you say?
What age? I'll translate from the Irish Mexican. What age are you?
Yeah.
Well, in about 40 minutes, I will be 32.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you. Christmas Eve. Right. You're a Christmas Eve boy, aren't you?
Yeah. So I'm currently 31. I'm 32 by the time this show ends.
I got
41 minutes, Rich.
Congratulations and happy birthday.
27. So you're an old fella now. I was married when I was 27. You were probably married quite young as well, Mark.
I met Jenny was when I was 18. We had a kid year after and married at 23. I've been married 25 years in April.
Wow. So you're getting your letter from the Queen soon as well, but aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling old now.
And his bus pass.
And my granddad.
Now there's only one person left on this podcast that we have to get married off. Just saying.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Chris Hemsworth's not replying to any of the mail.
That's right. We've been trying. We've been trying.
Is this a planning order or something?
God. That's what that document was. All right. Well, Rich, again, congratulations and pre-happy birthday. This has been a very busy month for you.
It has, mate. It has. Although in the chat, someone has said that since I've revealed my age, everybody else should also reveal their age. I think that's a good idea.
Right. Well, look, it's not exciting when I tell everybody I'm 21. So, you know, this is their task.
I'm 6 months younger than Greg. So whatever Greg is. Right. So that means I'm 20.
Robin's so old. He's trying to figure it out.
I am 48 years old for another month. Yeah. So am I? Mark's the oldie, isn't he? Mark's the oldie.
No, yeah? I'm 47. 48 in May. Yeah. Greg's 6 months older than me. You're the oldest, Robin.
Oh, I'm the old. I'm the old fart. Oh, how can that happen? How can I be the oldest person in the room? That can't be right. That can't be right.
Wouldn't you be the oldest person in most rooms? I'm only messing.
It's getting that way. I'm now Mister. Hey, Mister. It's funny, just in work and everything now, you know, you are. I remember it was starting out in my career and my jobs and looking at guys at my age going, those old farts. And now the young fellas are coming up behind me, snapping at my heels, and I am now the old fart. So, but the thing about it is, when my father was my age, he was an old man. If you get me, if you know what I mean, he was serious, and you know, and I don't feel like I'm almost 50-year-old man. I still have the attitude of a 25-year-old and the body of a 7-year-old. Yeah.
Let me just tell you, having met you in person, having known you for many years now, if there is anything I can say, and this can be a compliment or a backhanded compliment, depending upon how you want to look at it, but you are anything but mature in your approach tonight.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you have said to me since you were commenting on my old chap. Apart from that, and speaking of which... Speaking of Fantasy Island, who has seen The Last Jedi yet?
Tomorrow.
Not yet.
Is that it?
Not yet.
See, like,
no spoilers.
I'm not going to see it until January, probably, at this rate.
What sort of nerds are you? Really?
Birthday treat?
I've got to wait for my nephews coming up.
Yeah, I'm a family man.
I was there last Sunday evening, and I seen The Last Jedi. And I can tell you, without a doubt... that it is a Star Wars movie. Movie. You hear that?
That's
a movie.
That's good.
It has space in it.
Okay. let me ask you this. This is there will be no spoilers in your response. Did you like better or worse than The Force Awakens?
God, it's really hard.
He's asking about the movie.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens was class to see those characters on the screen again, and it was a good film, and I felt warm and fuzzy inside, apart from Han Solo, but warm and funny and fuzzy inside after I came out of it. Even the other one, the but damn it, everything blows up, Rogue One, that was class. I came out of that going, wow, fuck, brilliant. Yes. This one here, Joshua, Charlie, and I came out of the film theater rather flat. We were rather flat. It's a good movie. It has some really good bits in it and some really good eye candy. But it looks like it's been written by rich millennials. It's not targeted at the original canon. And I don't think we're ever going to improve on The Empire Strikes Back, the very first movie. I just don't think you're ever going to recapture that magic. So it is good, but when they done the really good Star Wars stuff that was true to Star Wars, it was brill. When they tried to be funny, there was too much trying to be funny. So, but yes, it's worth seeing if you're a Star Wars fan. It's good. It feels like it's back to the beginning again when it's all over. So, and go and enjoy it. Enjoy it and make your own opinion, Rich. I'd love to hear what you think of it. I don't think it's as bad as people are making out to be. People are saying it's really, really terrible. It's not.
I've heard people say it's really good. So, I'll enjoy it.
It is good. You need to stop hanging around with millennials, Mark.
Yeah.
It's not millennial. She's our age. SLH said it's really good.
It is really good, and I really want to watch it again, so I can digest it more, because there was an awful lot happened in it. So,
Okay, okay, what I will say is, with Star Wars, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'll give you the impressions that my friend in work gave me. He's 40-odd as well, so he's like a original Star Wars, like almost generation guys like yourselves. And he said almost exactly the same thing, Robin. He said that while it was okay Star Wars, it wasn't aimed for people like that anymore. It's maybe because it's part of Disney now, I don't know, but he said it's aimed for a much younger audience and it doesn't really fit in well with the old Star Wars, which is a bit of a disappointment if you like Star Wars because of the old ship.
Star Wars the next generation.
Yeah, Star Wars Next Generation. But I did like Force Awakens, though. I thought that was really good. And Rotten Tomatoes agrees with me.
Yeah, and yeah, me too. I mean, but again, no, there's no spoiler here, but there were some really friggin' stupid things that they did that blows all the other movies out of the water. So there's one part of it that they hyperspace a ship inside another ship to blow it up.
Mm. Oh, well, that's pretty big spoiler. So let's just can that conversation there. Other than the fact that...
Big spoiler. It's not a big spoiler. It's a little bit of a spoiler.
It's kind of a spoiler.
They did a lot. So why couldn't they have done that? But why couldn't they have done that with the Death Star? You know, just fire a ship into the middle of it and hyperspace it to hell. And, you know, there's some really weird non-canon stuff in it, but it's good. That's go on,
Anyway. That's a good question.
Anyway.
Anything else other than, you know, spoiling movies that I want to see that you want to talk about, Robin?
Princess Leia isn't going to be in any too many more movies. Okay. No, not really. It's just for me, it's been preparing for Christmas. Really big Christmas. Just our house is Christmas mad. And I mean, Judith has been baking all day. Lots of lovely treats. We have loads of people here on Christmas Day. And it's nice. The kids are excited. It's all about kids and enjoying the presents under the tree and just the build up to it. So we're really looking forward to Christmas this year. I'm finished work now and I just feel relaxed. I just know if my phone rings, it's out of disaster. So hopefully it shouldn't. I think I've got everything squared off this year. I'm really looking forward. I'm off now until the 2nd. Got a wee bit of paperwork to do in preparation for some meetings at the beginning of the year, but I've got a whole week of overeating, over drinking. The problem is I've been off already for a couple of days. It's still hard to get gaming time when there's just so many people in the house. I'm fighting for time. Yeah. Christmas Day is such a busy day. Boxing Day for me is a better day when everybody's gone and things are calming down a wee bit. I get that.
I mean, when it's holiday time, everybody has time off, and therefore it pulls you in a lot of different directions. Whereas if you were just taking a day off yourself and everybody was off to school and Judith was off doing whatever she wanted to do, you know, that's totally different. Yeah. No, I get
Christmas
that.
Day
I get
for that. Me is like, hi, technical support. How can I help you build this thing? Put batteries in that thing. Help me get online with that. Help me sort out that. How does this work? Yeah, that's that. Yeah. Do the dishes. Get that. Run around and get another set of dishes. Go, Robin, light the fire. Do this. Clear the table. Get everybody to the table. Be entertaining. Bah, humbug. Stop it, Mark. You put me in a bad mood.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Mark. Let's talk about your week and what you have had going on.
Well, I've finished work as well now for 4 days. Back on Wednesday, sadly, for 3 days. But I broke up Friday. Got paid Friday, so it's been a case of last minute dashing to get last few presents. And we've been food shopping today. But it's still not over. We've still got some more to get tomorrow, all the fresh stuff, the salad and the fruit and whatever. And I know in my mind it's a busy time of year for shopping. And I know I should prep myself for it's going to be chaos. But it still fucking bugs the fuck out of me that it's so busy and... I hate shopping the best of times, so... Yeah, so...
I hear that. And I know... Maybe it was the situation you just got paid. That's when you just had to go and do that. But for love nor money, for the past week, I was down through Belfast on Friday, and it was friggin' crazy. Yeah. It was just stupid. And for love nor money, you could not get me into town today. I wouldn't have went anywhere near it or any time over the last week, because it just looks like the world is about to end on Tuesday. because there's a shortage on Brussels sprouts. Judith has overbought Brussels sprouts. We're going to be farting all the way to the new year. There's so many Brussels sprouts in this house. It just seems crazy. There's just so much stuff bought. And I am so happy that right now there's three presents to wrap. All the other kids' presents are all wrapped. They're all hidden away. It's usually a Christmas Eve mad rush for us, but we're all set, all done. Bit of prep tomorrow and a nice quiet evening tomorrow night. But just the thought of going into town. Who was that? I've seen on Twitter today or on Facebook about, it was one of my friends were saying they seen two guys beating the hell out of each other over a car parking space. Why at this time of year? Please come on.
I have to admit, though, it hasn't been as busy today than it was yesterday. Apparently, my mum went shopping yesterday and she said it was absolutely insane. I think today a lot of people have put it off till tomorrow morning or tomorrow because. We're Sunday openings now over here. I don't know if it's same in the US, but all the shops are open, all the supermarkets are open Sundays anyway. And we'll make most of our money tomorrow. So it wasn't as bad today, but it was still bad enough to put me in a foul mood, which doesn't take much when we go shopping. And to top it off, Jenny wanted to take Mia with us to go shopping.
Lovely.
So that was okay until she got a bit bored and tired, and we were sat in McDonald's having his dinner, and she decided to run off. So that was quite fun and entertaining. Yeah.
Mark, you know what you should do? Last night, Judith and I and the boys, we took some nice candles down, and we went for a nice walk around London Zoo, and it was lovely.
You will be going for a walk around London Zoo now.
Yeah, we just had some nice candles and we walked around London Zoo with all the boys. And
so it's your fault.
So maybe tomorrow we should go to London Zoo and then have a wander around there. Yeah. It was a nice restful day. What happened? Did
London Zoo burn down or something? Yes, what's going on
tonight?
Burned down. Yes. It went on fire. It's closed. Oh. Sorry about that.
What's funny is I'm listening to you guys talking about your Christmas and kind of the shopping experience, and it is very different here in the U.S. Mark, you're talking about, the shops are now open on Sundays. The shops are always open on Sundays.
Well, they have been here for quite a while, but they're even up in Boxing Day now.
We have stores literally now. They normally were like open from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. Mm-hmm. Now I've been seeing stores announcing they're going to be open 24/7 leading up to Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
24 hours a day, they are open.
I feel for the staff, though. They have to work it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Mark Rich, in England, now this is sort of the old the politicians over here, but on a Sunday over here, which is tomorrow, that's correct, yeah, Sunday, big box stores aren't allowed to open until, I think it's 1 o'clock over here. It's a law. I mean, small shops can open, but your big department stores, stuff like that there.
They can serve at 10 a.m. I think some open at 9, but they don't open until 10. If you open at 9, you have to shut at 3. And if you open at 10, we have to shut at 4. They're only allowed to open for 6 hours, I believe. Is that right, Rich?
Oh, okay.
I know most of them around here are all 10 till 4. So we're going to go back on 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there'll be shops open till 10 p.m. tomorrow night. I guarantee it. They will be open way late. Yep.
My young lad's his part-time job, and he's working all around. It was started as a Christmas job last year, and they've kept him on. So, but this is crazy again this year. So he's been in three nights this week, maybe four nights to 11:30 at night. And it's like a little supermarket. It's like one of these frozen good places, it's called Iceland, funny enough. And it's all free, like a freezer place, all freezer stuff. And Josh is saying, like, the people are just coming in and just clearing stuff off the shelves of the trolley as if nothing's going to be there next Tuesday or Wednesday.
It's like there's going to be no shops open for 2 months. People just piling it in. So
yeah, well, I'm all right. I've been to my Patriot Supplies, and I've got my emergency rations just in case this shit goes to the fan. I've got 90 days of rations for my family just in case, and you just never know. The Tuesday mightn't come.
Yeah. So yeah, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We just got to get the fresh stuff, the salad, and
right.
the bread, usual stuff. So it should be quite easy and quick tomorrow. Hopefully, I think we'll be spending more time queuing than we will be shopping.
Yeah, but I'll be doing the same thing. Got to get some groceries for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What we've always done in the past, I think we've done it right from day one, from when we had kids. We've always cooked the turkey on Christmas Eve. It makes it far easier on Christmas Day to do other stuff in the oven and stuff. Because in the UK, not many of us have double ovens.
Right.
Like you guys in America, I know you've got like ovens everywhere. You've got ovens in every orifice, haven't you? But
we don't have a double oven.
Oh, don't you? Yeah. Oh, wow. No, right, okay.
No.
Yeah, it's just must be these TV programs you see. But yeah, so we've always cooked up.
We have four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will have Robin.
Sorry. It's a big Agnes-style thing.
Oh, yeah.
Four oven.
Yeah, so we always cook our turkey. Well, we used to get a turkey crown now. There's only a few of us. So that gets cooked Christmas Eve night. And then, not everyone comes round now. But, yeah, my mum's coming Christmas Day. Jenny's sister's coming round Christmas Day. So it's going to be a nice, quiet affair.
So let me ask this. I obviously know what you're eating, Mark, for Christmas. Rich and Robin, is turkey kind of a mainstay for Christmas for you guys as well?
Yeah, yeah.
We changed last year. We've actually went to like super-sized chickens. They're like I think they're called chunky chickens. So yeah, I like turkey, but the rest of them are just all about or right about it. But these are like friggin' alien chickens, which are three times the size. They're easier to cook and they're easier to manage and everybody eats. And we still have the stuffing. Mm. Sadly, it's not stuffed inside the vagina of the turkey or down its neck or its throat. So maybe some of the flavors aren't just there. But we do different flavors of stuffing and stuff like that. So chicken, turkey, tomato, tomato, you know, it's not that much difference. I miss the big turkey leg. That was, God, that's an American thing.
Gordon, yeah, it is an American thing.
You would have seen that if you're in Disney. In Disney, walking around
We'll get to that in a second. But for a difference of view, Kim, what are you having for Christmas dinner?
Believe it or not, it's not turkey. No, it's not turkey. We're having chicken.
Chicken. Okay. All right.
Yeah. We did turkey for Thanksgiving. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we do turkey for Thanksgiving as well. We are having prime rib this year. There will be no turkey happening at our house.
Yeah. Tell me, Americans, tell me, do you know anybody that does the big barrel of fat and they deep fry
their full turkey? Yeah, I've seen that.
Kim knows. Yeah.
Yep. We've done it a few years.
That's a thing.
Yep. Also, leading cause of house fires.
Well, not at my house. We're smarter than that, but you know.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
we don't do it in the middle of the living room or anything like that. So
in the kitchen, no. Yeah,
yeah.
And how does that work, Kim? Is that just like is it like a big oil drum or what is it?
It's like a big stock pot, and you know, you've got a big burner on the bottom of it. You set the stock pot in it, and you put your oil in it. You know, I think it's like 6 or 8 gallons. I can't remember. And you just wait for it to heat up, and when it hits the temperature, you stick your turkey in it, and away it goes.
And how long does it take to deep fry then?
Oh, not very long. I want to say like maybe a half an hour.
Wow.
It depends on the weight of the turkey. But yeah, I think the ones we've had has only taken like a half an hour. And it's good. It's really good. The turkey is juicy and the outside gets done really
crispy,
well.
Yeah.
I gotta say it. It sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen, but I really got to try that sometime.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Robin.
So when you do the prime rib, Greg, do you have a starter and a salad and a main course and, you know, like an aperitif and a dessert? Do you do the whole thing, sort of, you know, the whole lot? Or is it straight?
So it'll be, I mean, not necessarily like courses, but we'll have a number of side dishes to go with the prime rib, and then we'll do dessert afterwards.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not like a staged course dinner where it's like you're starting with your salad course, and then you have your appetizer, and then you can move to the dinner. No, nothing like that.
Robin, as butler's coming out serving his dinner.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of lunch, yeah, no. So, yeah, looking forward to Christmas dinner. I suppose I should talk about what I did this past week. I went to Disneyland. Yeah. Was down there for 3 days, had a blast, went on every ride we could possibly imagine. One of the benefits of my son being disabled is that we're actually able to go in and get a it's like a fast pass that Disneyland offers, but it works no matter what. Whereas the fast passes normally, if you buy them, they can run out. So rides like they'll run out of time.
You get 4 or 5 a day or something out there. Yeah.
With my son's situation, we just go up and tell them what rides we want to go on, and they get us a time to come back to the ride no matter what. So we were able to get in a lot of rides. We rode the Cars ride a ton. We went and took my son on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. That's the new ride that they changed over from the Tower of Terror.
Ooh.
It's still the Tower of Terror. It's just now to the Galaxy. So it's themed around that. So it's kind of cool. You know, you've got all of the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of motif and stuff as you're going in, and you know, they've decorated it all up in kind of that vibe. And then you get into this car, and I want to say it's like 4 or 5 to a row, but they're like 5 deep and they're stacked, almost like stadium seating. And then it shoots you all the way up. And then it drops you, and then it brings you back up, and it drops you, and puts you back up. And the whole time they're playing like some good 70s like rock and roll kind of music as part of like the Guardians of the Galaxy vibe. So it's a great ride. My son didn't take to it all that well.
You put Colin on that?
I can imagine.
Jesus Christ. Please tell me you didn't put him on the rock and roll.
Does that amount to child abuse?
Absolutely. Yes. Did go on the Matterhorn, by the way. But no, so we got up and he actually liked the bouncy parts of the ride. But the problem was we had eaten about a half hour earlier. So when we got off the ride, suddenly Colin started giving us the notion of, I just might throw up on you. So luckily he didn't throw up, but we at that point decided there will be no more drop zone like rides for him in the future. We'll keep him on.
Yeah, coasters. Space Mountain. Yeah. So did you?
We did Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. Brilliant.
He loved it. He loved it. Yes.
And Rock and Roller Coaster. Rock and Roller Coaster. That's Disney, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's cool. That's a good ride. Yeah.
So do you have the same rides in Florida what they have in California one?
Mostly.
Right.
Mostly. Yeah. But there are differences in both. So okay. I mean I would have loved to have went when I was there. Because just to see that's where it all started, just to tick that box, but this year it didn't work out. So did they have it all Christmased up?
Yes.
And
they transformed the entire park. Everything gets transformed into a Christmas type theme. So even the rides themselves are all decorated out and done up. So like It's a Small World is a very famous ride within Disney. It's a very tame ride, but it's all Christmased out.
It's class. I love it.
The Haunted Mansion, it transforms from being the standard kind of Haunted Mansion into a Christmas-themed Haunted Mansion. And then just as you go down downtown Disney, or the main drag of Disneyland, they have the main street that leads up to the castle, and the castle is all decorated out in Christmas lights. But they do a fireworks show at the end of the night. Every night in Disneyland, there's always fireworks. Yep. And what they end up doing is at the very end of the fireworks show, they make it snow.
Mm. On the main street?
Yeah. It's a very cool experience. And one other thing I need to show, and this is for those not on our podcast team, because I think you guys already have seen this from me, but I happened to come across the ultimate thing I had to buy. It was a complete waste of money, but let me show you. Hold on.
And now Greg is moving to the back, and here he comes to the front.
That is great,
into picture.
Great audio podcasting.
Great. And here we are with Greg DeLisi coming back again. He is now putting his headphones back into his ears. And there's one headphone in and another headphone. And now he's back, people, on the radio.
So this...
Ah, superb! I want it!
...is a poseable AT-AT walker that is... See if I can get this to work right for me.
Two of the best things in the world.
A popcorn holder.
Yeah. Star Wars and popcorn, Gav here.
Yep.
And did you get a Vader helmet as well? One.
No, I got a TIE Fighter.
Oh, TIE Fighter. All right, okay. Yeah.
So I got a TIE Fighter and an AT-AT Walker, all for the small price of $40.
Right, pop quiz, right quick. Who knows what TIE stands for in TIE Fighter?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I know.
Oh, I heard this. Something.
I don't.
I forget. I knew this. But
TIE Fighter Tactical Intermediate.
Tyler Durden?
Twin impulse engine.
There you go.
Okay.
And if that's wrong, blame Jason Johnson.
Right, I blame Jason Johnson for a lot of things.
I'm sure he said that once on the Games Run, and it's always stuck in my mind, because I always wondered what TIE Fighter stood for. So
Greg, was the popcorn good? Because damn, you have some good popcorn.
It was not great popcorn, but it was great at the time because we were starving. So, yeah, there's that. But yeah, so Disneyland was fantastic. I think I kind of like the because we did both parks. So there's Disneyland and then there's California Adventures, which is a separate park, but it's all part of Disney. So you can either get a multiple park hopper ticket to go back and forth, or you can go to one park or the other. We always get the hopper ticket so we can go whichever park we want. I like California Adventures. That's where the Disney Pixar stuff is. That's where the Cars ride is, which is one of our favorite rides to go on. And then they had a new ride there. It's called Soaring Around the World, which to describe it, basically you get into these suspended chairs. And they again, it's you're kind of like four deep, and they have rows. And what they do is they then you rise up off the floor. You go up about probably 30, 40 feet up into the air, and all of the chairs get staggered out. So nobody's in front of you anymore, and you're in front of this gigantic IMAX screen. And the way this ride moves along with the scenery as you're flying, you're soaring through the air around all of these different places in the world. I don't know how they quite do it, and I think it's just they gently move you back and forth within the suspended chairs. But you get the sensation and the G-force sensations, if you will, of flying.
They have that in Epcot in Florida, or a version of it. Maybe it's slightly older. If this is new now, so a few years ago I was on it. So yeah, it is class over the fields and landmarks and class.
They had fans blowing air on you, so I think that helps with the sensation of flying. And at first I turned to Cindy, I'm like, I kind of wish they'd turn the fans off because it was a little cold. And suddenly, as we're flying over these tropical islands, I'm like, it smells like the beach. And sure enough, they sent some of the stuff coming down. So when you hit 4D. Different areas, it was pretty awesome.
Disney and Universal and all, you know, those big parks, but especially Disney, they do it so well. And the staff are so nice, helpful, smiley. Yep. You know, you'll never see a piece of litter. Anyway, it's just, if you've never been, if you ever get the opportunity to go to a Disney park, because it's such a wonderful, it is the happiest place on earth. And at Christmas time, even more so.
And I am happy to say I did not come across one loot box while I was at Disneyland.
So I need to make a quick amendment to my last thing. Before I get every Star Wars fan in the world emailing me, it stands for...
Oh, damn it, I knew you were wrong.
Yeah, it's Twin Ion Engine, not Impulse. It's same thing, though.
Yeah.
I'll get a load of letters now saying, Ion is not the same as Impulse.
Stop.
Impulse is from Star Trek, Ion is from... Anyway,
all right, so that was me. That's it. Let's move on. Let's talk about some games we've been playing. So I think that's probably
what is this a gaming podcast?
Well.
Let's
have a different jingle this time.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Oh, I like that. That sounds like Stan.
It does, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's talk about games. I'm trying to see here. So, Kim, real quickly, you kind of fallen out. Gaming mojo, what's going on? Are you just in a lull, just not enough time in the day?
I think so. That's part of it. I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm hoping come 2018 it comes back and I get more time to actually do that. So, you know.
It happens. Not to worry. We'll circle back with you, of course, once you actually start getting back into some games. But you've also just... You've had a lot going on beyond gaming, so that's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think, Mr. Webster, you're the only one I don't know. I'm pretty sure all of us have been playing very much a similar game. So let's talk about anything not PUBG related.
Please.
And then we get into PUBG.
Okay.
So let's talk about what you played real quickly.
Apart from PUBG.
Yes.
Okay, I've played. Do you mean recently?
Yeah, recently. You know, within the past week or two.
Okay, so that we're not doing like the year in video games.
No. We will recant that at some other point in time when we go through our top five lists, which likely will be next week. You don't have to have it ready now. But start thinking about that. Everybody start thinking about your top five games. And this is for the audience, too. Think about what top five games most impressed you over the year. You can even throw in a disappointment or two. So what have you just been playing?
Let me think. What have I been playing?
All right, let's just go to PUBG. Let's just talk about it.
Jesus fucking Christ. Jesus. Scratch two of them off the podcast.
Wake me up when the PUBG talk is over, please.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. No, I've not been playing anything but PUBG.
Okay, there's a damn good Xbox sale on at the moment, and I'm sure there's a PlayStation 1. And you're going to talk about Wildlands, Greg. I've just bought Wildlands because it's down to £22. Which is really good price because last week I was looking at it the week before, it was 40 and 50 quid. So I'm looking forward to catching up with you guys. It's a 50 gig download, but what the hell? Yeah, so there's a massive sale on the Xbox store. I'm sure PlayStation have that as well, something like that. But there's prices from...
Even Steam has a sale going on.
Like £1.30 or £1.60 on the Xbox store for, Dear Esther? All of that sort of stuff is cheapest chips.
Super Lucky Tales is down to £13. I'm really tempted with that because it looks gorgeous.
Ukulele, if you don't want to buy it, it's cheap on the store at £14.99, but on Amazon right now it's £12.99. So that's I bought the disc of it for a Christmas present for the guys. So Ukulele's coming too. So lots of really good deals out there. So if you're looking for something different, Kim. Go check out the sales. Go check them out. Don't have to spend much.
True. Very true. And Ghost Recon Wildlands, we might as well talk about that real quickly since you brought it up. They had an update for the Predator. They added in a mission to hunt down the Predator. I have started that mission. It disappoints on one hand because I think they could have implemented it a little bit better. But once you're actually fighting the Predator, it is not the easiest of missions. And so I likely am going to need human players to help me out on that. I'm not going to be able to tackle it solo.
Can you be the Predator? I would love to do all the different – there's infrared, ultraviolet.
Arnold beat the Predator. If Arnold could do it. We can do it.
You did.
So Ghost Recon Wildlands. So, I mean, this game has gone full circle on me. I started off having played the beta, really not liking what I saw and what I played. It's to the point that I decided to not buy it, held off, and then on a whim bought it on a sale. I think it's a Black Friday sale, if I remember correctly, Mark. But I don't know if you remember when I got it. But I mean, I got it.
Yeah, yeah, it was Black Friday. Yeah. You got this, and you got Wolfie.
Yeah, this game.
Wolfie? Do you not mean Wolfenstein?
He does. But Ghost Recon Wildlands, it is a really good game for what it does, and that is open world tactical shooter. I still think there are certain things that they do that I think make the experience a little bit easy, like the sinking shot when you're solo play. It's basically like a automatic, you know, it's automatic kills for you. But
guys, we'll be back in a second.
No worries. It's fun setting it up. It's fun getting into that position and then, you know, kind of executing those moves. And damn, this game is gorgeous. It is a looker. For an open world game, it is gorgeous. I am playing it on the X. Full disclosure there. So it is something to behold.
Is it enhanced for the X? Has it had a patch?
It is.
All right. Okay.
It is. Yeah. So it really is quite good looking, and it plays really smooth. So it is potentially making it into my top five list. I don't know.
Well, so have I. I've been thinking about it a bit this week as well, and it's tough. Because of Ulog is one thing, and I still have a backlog of so many great games to play next year. But the problem is I really don't want to be all this honorable mention stuff this year. I want to be really fixed because, you know, honorable mentions, well, you know, they're a sign of indecisive sissies, and I really don't want to be one of those indecisive sissies this year, so I want to be clear. But it's still hard. I have played some really good games this year, but I would really wish it was more like, Greg, what games did I enjoy the most playing this year? And I know that defeats the purpose of what came out.
That could be your top five. I mean, it doesn't have to be top five games that came out this year. It can be the top five games that you played this year. I mean, it's your list. Make it what you want. This is to help inform our audience of some games to keep an eye out for. I will say I have a game that is going to be an honorable mention, but I have a very clearly defined reason why it is there. I'm not going to talk about it now. Yeah, yeah. No, there's no sissiness about this. I will explain. You will understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. All right. So Ghost Recon Wildlands, fantastic. Cuphead. I got into playing Cuphead. Oh, my God. What a great game. What a fantastic game. It is balls hard, as everyone has ever described it. It is difficult. But what I found is, you know, it is learning patterns. It is all about getting patterns down to beat those bosses. But it is one of those games where as soon as you die, you can fire it back up and get right back into it. So Trials Fusion, where it frustrates you, but you're able to just start it back up right away and go back into it. And the boss battles themselves, at least so far, haven't been overly long. I'm sure they will get longer, and then the penalty for dying is going to feel a little bit more punitive. But right now, really enjoying it. The visuals and the sound design on this game, I don't think there's anything out there that matches up to kind of that direction. The feel, the vibe this game gives is so great.
Totally agree, and this will be in my list, even though I haven't finished it.
Yep.
So it's definitely going to be there. Yeah. Yeah. Cuphead.
I'm really curious how this is co-op. Yeah, I'm kind of curious on that one. But anyway, so Cuphead, yeah, I've been playing that. And then, I should say I actually fired up ReCore. ReCore Definitive Edition, because they gave the free for that.
Is it much different?
Well, okay, so I never played it before. Waited. I purposely waited because I knew I was going to be getting the Xbox One X, and I knew they were going to be doing a Definitive Edition for the X. So I purposely held off and, you know, waited for you know, the fixed version, if you will. So far, I'm enjoying the game. It's pretty darn good. But I've heard this from a lot of people. The first half of this game is really good, and then it got a little punishing and difficult, janky towards the latter part. So I don't know what to make about that. I haven't finished it out yet. But what I've enjoyed.
I've had a boss that I just can't get through, and maybe because I'm crap at games. I've seen it there. It's sitting ready to run, but I haven't been brave enough to fire it up again. So yeah. I must do that and try and do a comparison.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to hear what you have to say comparing what it used to be to what it is now, because my understanding is they've added in HDR lighting, they've added in basically the increased resolution to the game, and then they also added in a bunch of basically kind of systems to make the game, for lack of a better way to put it, complete. They added in the one robot that was missing. They have tweaked some of the difficulty curves and also some of the way the game, I think, works in terms of game mechanics. So,
have you got to the little yellow robot that jumps on, you jump on and sort of grabs onto rails? Have you got, like, it's the third robot? Have you got it to him yet? Yeah, so it was it was really good for me up to that point and started to get a bit janky at that point. So it'll be interesting to see if it turns into jank from that point on for you. The annoying things for me about it, Greg, were the enemies that constantly respawn. So like literally you kill these enemies that popped up, you turned your back, you turn back around again and they respawn again. That was a bit annoying.
That would be frustrating. I can see that.
It just felt to me like it was unfinished. So maybe it was rushed out. I think if they admitted that it was sort of rushed out, so maybe they've got the opportunity to do it. It's a pity because from an average game, it sounds like it's maybe improved to a really good game. So I will go back. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I suppose the only other thing, Mark. I'll do my Wolfenstein bit because it was quick. In between PUBG rounds last night, when I was waiting for Greg to appear, and he was on and off and on and off and on and off, I thought he was Amsterdam. I played some more Wolfenstein, and just it still blows me away the looks of this game. I still think that it's like I can't wait to get to the next cutscene because the cutscenes are so brilliant, and the gameplay in between is quite good. But the story and the cutscene part of it seems to be better. It's weird. It's such a beautiful game, and it plays really, really well, and it plays as good and better than the last one, but it just seems quite similar, and the gameplay doesn't seem to have adjusted that much from the first one. And then again, what should I expect? Because it's another Wolfenstein game. It is class. It's beautiful, and it will probably be up there, but I want to try and get it finished before we do our end-of-year roundup to see how it finishes off.
So, Robin, it's interesting that you brought up Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein! Because Fraser was on the Game Punchers annual podcast. And,
burn.
but they talked about Wolfenstein. And I don't know if you remember, but Fraser was fairly negative about Wolfenstein on our podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's come almost full circle on that now.
Good.
He said later in the game, it does some things that really has him coming back around on it. And so I'm excited for that too.
Last night I got to the clip what they showed in the trailer, which was in the milk shop.
Yes.
So I've been through that scene now and where that scene ends up. And it is very, very, very good. The characters in it are fabulous. The character development and the sort of the bit of a backstory to it, and little small things like, you know, when you set the controller down to do something else, the characters in the background, they all do something, and they do something for, you know, I think I mentioned before there was a chess game going on behind a big doopy guy with a funny head and the sciencey mad professor fella. And I sat and watched it for about 10 minutes, and it kept on going, and they argued over the chess game, and they threw the chess pieces all over the place in a rage, and the big guy went to pick them up, and they there's just so much depth in the stuff that you would maybe ever never see because you just rush past that. Every character, if you stand and listen, They've got interesting things to say, and you stand and watch them, the interesting things to do. And yeah, it's a game made out of love. It really is.
Yeah.
Good team.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, GTA 5, I see you've gotten back into playing that on the PC, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, a bit of both, really. And I might get sacked off the podcast for this, but the difference between the PC version and the Xbox version is like night and day. It's quite unreal, really, how different they are in graphically and playability. The PC version is far superior. It is so gorgeous. It's untrue. I know. I don't want to say this. This is what I'm talking about. But
it's okay.
Because what I did was, there's a new challenge in it with the latest DLC called the Doomsday Heist, where you can get a revolver, which you also unlock for Red Dead Redemption 2. So I thought, right, I've got to have this, because that is one game we'll definitely be getting anyway. So I did it on the PC version. You get a random email with a treasure map, and you have to locate where it is in Los Santos, and then it leads you to some other clues, and you get the revolver. And then with the revolver, if you get 50 headshots, you then get 250k put into your bank, and you unlock it for Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, doing this on PC was quite easy, because you aim with a mouse. Your favorite thing, Greg, you aim with a mouse.
Aiming with a mouse is easy. Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of skill.
And what I did was, I had my 360 gamepad with me, so I used that for my driving, but for my character, I'd use keyboard and mouse. And the headshots were quite easy to get. And then I thought, well, I'll be getting Red Dead Redemption 2 on the Xbox, so I'm going to have to do this again on the Xbox, so it should be a piece of cake. Finding the gun was a piece of cake, but getting the headshots was way harder with a controller. I don't know if it's because I've just been playing it on the PC, but getting headshots with an old-style Colt revolver thing took some doing. It took some doing.
Well, so, I thought you would have remembered that from the olden days. It is hard to shoot a Colt, Mark. You know.
Yeah. You know that picture with Matt McFly and Doc? Yeah, I was in the background, didn't you? it runs so good on PC. It is unbelievable. I thought it looked really good on Xbox One and PS4, but when you've played it on PC, Rich will back me up on this, when you played it on PC, the difference in frame rate, graphical appearance, the draw distance, the textures, it's night and day, man. It's completely different game.
The frame rate, I think, is the first thing that jumps out at you, especially if you've recently just played it. But the frame rate, the poly count, draw distances, just the experience of GTA on PC, and it's so well made. It's honestly a gift from God.
And you don't need a high spec PC to run it either. The specs are quite low, and it's only £16 on Steam at the moment in the sale. So
exactly, yeah, get £16.
Yeah,
not bad for a 5-year-old game.
No, it isn't.
Not
no.
Bad.
No. There's quite a few of us picked it up. A few of us in the PUBG PC group. A lot of us have picked it up on PC, the GTA 5. So there's a lot of us playing it now. So yeah, it's good fun. It's really good online. There's snow now in Los Santos for their annual Christmas festive events. Yeah, so there's snow on that. So yeah, the only other thing I've played is what we're all going to talk about in a bit. So. Anyone else?
Might as well talk about it now.
Right, yeah.
Might as well talk about it now. Yeah. Let's talk PUBG.
PUBG?
So PUBG hit the Xbox. So that was a kind of kickoff, I think, for Robin and I really to get involved with PUBG. Rich, I believe you had been playing PUBG on PC already. Mm-hmm. I know Mark for sure had been.
Yeah.
So, Rich, do you have this on Xbox as well now or just still on PC?
Just PC, my friend.
No. No, you know, it's okay that you're on the inferior version.
That's okay.
That's a joke, everybody. Relax. I know the PC version is better. It's okay. But yeah, so, I mean, the PUBG craze, you know, is kind of, I want to say it's been reinvigorated within our group of friends because it's now on Xbox. We've got more people talking about it. We've got more people playing it. You know, the experience of PUBG is very unique. You know, it's unlike any other shooter really out there. You know, I know some people try and say Fortnite is an equivalent. I totally disagree. Fortnite is trying to be similar, but the mechanics of Fortnite, the way Fortnite plays compared to PUBG, they're very different games, and I find PUBG to be superior. I really have bought into what PUBG is selling. Anybody want to chime in?
I'm going to contradict what I just said with GTA here, because with this game, although the PC version is obviously more advanced because it's had more time to improve, this game does not rely on just looks mate. It's just all about the gameplay. So even though the Xbox version is not as good looking and it doesn't run as well as a PC version, this game has as much excitement, as much tension and playability as the PC version. So you just go where your friends are. If a lot of people playing it on PC, I play it on PC. If a lot of people are playing it on the Xbox, I'll go on the Xbox version. Right. It's such a good game. It's such a good game. The feeling you get when you get to that last 20 or so, or even in the last 10, is your heart starts racing, you start sweating, and everyone's trying to help you. Those who have not survived, they'll be giving you advice. I can see someone in the distance, and that. It's just such a fun team game. It's superb with friends.
I would say when you go ahead, Robin, go ahead.
Sorry, absolutely, and God, I'm sure the PC game is 100 times better looking and it's 100 times smoother. Now, the PC version started off like crap, and it's nice already to see that they've added a new patch. It doesn't seem to stop the crashing yet. But, you know, it has something magical about it. I mean, I was playing with Fraser a bit last night, and Stan and a couple of randoms that jumped in because Greg was off drying his hair. There's just this class feeling of you're sort of looking out for each other, trying to work your way across the land, and it's a real teamwork effort. It's just, it doesn't matter that it doesn't look as good, but there's something magical about the gameplay that I've only ever experienced in recent times, and I've said it before in Sea of Thieves that night that we had, Mark, with Nicole.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
And it's like every time you drop out of the plane, unless you're playing with Stan because he drops into the busiest place ever, that's youth for you. But every time you drop, it's like a completely new adventure. You just don't know where it's going to take you or what's going to unfold, how many baddies are going to come your way and on foot or on car, or are they going to be hauled up somewhere and you have to work your strategy out of what you're going to do. It's brilliant. It's freaking awesome. And it is a completely different game. Totally different game playing it solo.
Yeah.
It needs really to be played as in a group.
There's even differences between PC players and Xbox players, because the Xbox players are quite new to it and learning the ropes and that. On the PC, you wouldn't dare drop in at the military base unless you know for a fact you're good at shooting people and you're up for a fight. But me and Fraser dropped in the military base a couple of days ago. There was no one there. We had all this loot to ourselves. It was awesome. We waited there, but we was lucky with a circle, and we got right into the last 15, I think. The way it's played on both systems is so different as well. It's quite uncanny how different it's received on both.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point to bring up. You know, I know that a lot has been being made about the fact that, on the PC side, things you don't do. You don't get vehicles, really. You try to avoid that because play on the PC side is like almost instant death, right? whereas on the Xbox version, vehicle play has very much become a weapon. And you see people using vehicles even within the final rounds to kind of get them there. And I'm okay with that. I know some people are like, oh, it shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't be using vehicles. I'm like, no, you know what? It's a viable strategy if it works on the platform you're on.
Yeah.
And so
– and if you think about it, if someone's in a moving vehicle at like 40, 50 miles an hour coming towards you, it's going to be damn hard to hit them and get a headshot.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be hard to hit them, yes. Yeah. So to that extent, vehicle play – I think creates a different kind of dynamic. Now, I will say this. If you're on, you know, the Xbox version and you are encountering somebody that's in a vehicle, unless you're out in the middle of a field where you've got no cover, nothing to get around, you're probably screwed in that instance. But, I mean, to avoid vehicles isn't all that difficult, especially if you're up in a treed area or around rocks. You just use those items as cover and avoid the vehicle. The vehicle can't go through a tree. It can't go through a rock. You know, I used a vehicle as part of a cover system for myself. Last Sunday night, I actually got a solo chicken dinner right before I left for Disneyland, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I had a vehicle that I was using as I got into the final circle. I parked the vehicle kind of kitty corner to a rock, and I had the blue wall was literally right behind me. I could not go back, so I knew nobody was going to be coming up behind me. And I used that, you know, that system to take down somebody that was coming at me because I had the cover of the vehicle. And then I got my vehicle and I started to try and traverse up the hill a little bit more and found the last guy. I jumped out of my vehicle because I knew I wasn't going to be able to kill him with my vehicle because he had trees and rocks to use as cover himself. And, you know, we ended up duking it out with guns, and I was able to kill him before he killed me. You know, conversely, last night I was with Scott Fair, and we teamed up as a duo. We came upon two guys literally walking out of a house as we were driving up. So I just floored it. I hit one guy, and you know, we jump out of the car. Unbeknownst to me, Scott also got shot and was down next to the guy. This is just one of those funny PUBG stories. I looked down and saw the guy down, not realizing Scott had been shot. I just assumed that was the guy I just hit with the car. So I fucking light him up with the AK-47, killing Scott, because it was actually Scott that was next to the other guy. Yeah. So I ended up killing both of them. And then because I was so busy focusing on them, I got shot by the other guy that got away.
That sounds a bit brilliant. Like that time I run you over.
Yes.
Thinking you were that brilliant guy coming stories. Out of the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Brilliant yep. stories. And this is the stuff that's coming out of this game, which is class. It is. Yeah, now, wish list, okay, apart from the crashing and blah, 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 all the little bits, technical bits and pieces, I would love to have more than four players in co-op. I would love that. And I know sometimes it's a challenge to get everybody on, but just to be able to have a team of six or eight people yeah. would be just
it'll,
awesome.
It'll come because it's now version 1.0 on PC, so it's officially released now on PC. It was released on 20th of December, and that has custom games, and you can have up to 50v50 if you wanted in custom games. And I've not actually looked in the menu yet, because before, custom games were only available to sort of like popular streamers. They were given access right. to it by Bluehole. But yeah, I presume now that's all unlocked with the full release. Do you know that, Rich?
Yeah.
Is it custom games out now?
With 1.0?
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but I'd have to check.
But yeah, because I know a lot of people do. They do 8-man teams on custom games, which is cool. And you can open it up to public as well.
Yeah, I would like to see them actually bring trios. So you've got duos, you've got squad, which is four. But oftentimes we have three people, and we can't get a fourth in, and we're just waiting for one random to come in. And you know, because we're in party chat, we end up not being able to talk to that person. So I would like to see trios as an option.
Or what they should do is do what they've done on PC. So if there's three of you in squads, well, you can have even one person in a squad. You can have one, two, or three. And what you do
and
is
just start it.
You click on where you untick the box which says auto matchmaking, and it will not fill your squad up. If you left that ticked, it'd fill you up with randoms. But if you didn't tick it, then it'll run with how many you've got in your squad. So that is definitely needed on Xbox. Because we've run with three loads of times on PC and we've won and stuff. So,
Greg, have you got anything better than brown shoes yet?
So I have.
You won't beat my top. You won't beat my top.
No, nobody can beat that top, Mark. That thing is priceless. Mark happens to have what I can only characterize as a woman's blouse, like a turtleneck blouse. He wanted to claim it was a tank top. It's not. It's like a full-on woman's turtleneck blouse.
It's like something like Tears for Fears would have worn in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Or a very camp hairdresser. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark wears it proudly. He wears it proudly, loud and proud. I have, since my brown shoes, I've gotten a pair of khaki combat pants.
Oh, that's handy. Very distinctive.
A black long sleeve t-shirt, which I was very happy with. That actually I was quite pleased with.
How are you getting all these points?
Playing. And then I got a second black long sleeve t-shirt. That was actually a disappointment. But they do let you sell them back. So if you get a duplicate, you can get rid of the duplicate, but it only is going to give you like 30 battle points. So it's not really that much, but at least you can get rid of it. You're not stuck with it. I think from a community perspective, this is a game that is going to have longer legs than it already has had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been in our community for quite a while on the PC side. It's getting second life now on the Xbox side. I mean, Rich, are you still enjoying PUBG? You've been pretty quiet. I know we've been talking about the Xbox version, but I mean,
the thing with PUBG is it's kind of like it's like World of Warcraft or Dota. It's like more than just, oh, this is a game I'm just going to play. It's kind of like an experience, like
a profession.
Yeah, because it's weird because like you play it, but you don't play it to win. You play it to just see how far you can get. Do you know what I mean? The only people that play it to win is Mike because he still needs his chicken dinner. But like PUBG is like, it's a game where you get in, you'll spend half an hour running around the map being sneaky, and then you'll get shot because you did something stupid or you made a mistake or you left your vehicle like in an obvious position. But then you'll go, right, okay, I won't do that next time. And you jump straight into another game. You do something different. And it's just one of them things where like it's just a constant sort of perfection of the loop. Because the loop is drop, find loot, don't die. And it's just perfecting that very simple mechanic. It's like Hunger Games, but better.
I mean, Hunger Games, yeah, absolutely. That is the best analogy.
I do get bored with the picking up the loot stuff. When I get a helmet, a backpack, and a decent couple of guns and some first aid stuff, I'm happy. I'm not that worried about going to hunt for loot. I'm happy.
That's okay. I mean, that to me is actually not a bad strategy. I mean, my strategy...
Stand guard when other people are looking for loot. Like Stan's going, oh, do you have any ammo for this? Do you have any? Do anybody need a helmet? Anybody need a backpack? Anybody got a scope?
Well, I always want to upgrade, right? You always want to upgrade. You want to get a level 2 or level 3 helmet, backpack if you can, because you can hold more stuff. You get a little more protection. Same thing with the police vests.
And you're always looking for your favorite gun as well. So you might pick up a SCAR, which is a great gun, but you might think, I want that M416. I love that. That's my favorite gun. So you'll keep looting because you want your favorite gun.
But that brings
risks to it as well.
I would love to know what the backstory is. You know, like, where did all the people go that happened to leave all those weapons and police vests and helmets behind? I mean, why did they leave a Red Bull energy drink in the middle of the floor?
And you know what I'd do? Right at the beginning, I would jump out of a plane before it even takes off and throw a grenade in and kill them all instantly anyway. So,
yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, what happened? What is the backstory? What's the prequel to PUBG?
It's got to be some... It'll be a Hunger Games type thing where people have all paid... it's a bit like... what's that Van Damme movie?
Westworld.
Where they're hunting OAPs and they're giving them money for mech it. So it's that sort of thing.
If you survive.
Cool. It's good stuff. Yeah. It's good stuff. And, you know, I mean, just we'll wrap up the PUBG talk. But, I mean, PUBG, I think its strength relies on, one, it doesn't have a story. Actually, I think that is a benefit to it. But that it has this massive island that is so varied that every time you play this game, it is a different experience. You never feel like I'm playing the same thing over and over again. It just has a kind of very unique feel every time. Yeah. And I think that really is what keeps it from feeling static, because it is only one map. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, the PC does have another map coming, but right now the main game is one map, but it's gigantic. Yeah. And
like you say, no two games are ever the same.
Yeah. So many variables. We can say PUBG for life, not just for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. All right. Why don't we jump into some news? And I'm actually going to step away and use the bathroom. See, this is how we do this, Mark. I'm going to walk away, use the bathroom.
I walked away last week, and you never saw me.
I know. I still cannot believe that. So funny story. Last week's podcast, Mark tells us, I've got to use the restroom. And we look up and we're like, well, when are you going to go? And Mark's like, I've already gone. He's like, I've been back for a while. So Mark, take us into the news and maybe walk us through the news.
Right, okay.
Here is the fucking news.
So while we're on about PUBG... You should have muted Greg before you went. Yeah, so while we're on about PUBG, there's a bit of PUBG news I wanted to add into there, because there's not much news today. So the new update on the Xbox One, which I think released yesterday, was it, Robin?
Yeah.
They're calling this the first pass at improving visuals and performance. The patch notes listed on the PUBG forums describe this as a first pass, improving the game's look and feel. It includes better anti-aliasing, less texture popping, and reduced lag. Since this is a first, presumably of many, updates to the Xbox One version of the game, these improvements may not be noticeable right away, or may only be marginal in terms of impact. That said, the game only arrived on Xbox One a week ago, so a 5GB patch being pumped out this early shows the team isn't resting on its heels. Which we did say before.
Bastards! Bastards!
5GB, Robin.
5GB for me!
To me, Rich and Kim, 5GB. No, we just throw 5GB away, don't we?
Holy crap.
True now.
I'm out here in the man cave, and the other Xbox One vanilla is out here, and it hasn't been switched on since way before Extra Life. And I want to get it ready for man cave 4 so we can throw kids out here on Christmas Day as well. And there's a 3.8 gig patch for it, and it started about 1 o'clock today, and it finished about 20 minutes before this podcast started. 3.8 gig. That's like a life sentence to me. It's crazy. I just hate flipping updates. I hate gigs. I hate gigabytes. Gigabytes. It's lazy programming. They should be able to do it all in 56K. Really?
So
lazy.
The only other news item is Apple now requires the developers to disclose the odds for loot boxes. If you've got a loot box type game with randomized rewards for purchase, the game offers it, you now have to disclose the odds of receiving the rewards promised, which I think is a good move, to be honest. It's a good compromise.
That is definitely a good compromise. And I think we're going to see a lot of these publishers or platforms probably requiring something like this. And hopefully they're smart and they do require this, because I think this is going to help keep legislation out of gaming. If they don't, and loot boxes continue to be this this issue, and we see abuse like we saw with EA and Battlefront 2, my big fear is that government is going to get involved. And anytime government gets involved, it's not a good thing.
Fucking men, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, look at Australia.
The idea is we want government to ignore us so much that they don't even know what's going on. We were all right with shops doing the, okay, are you 18? All right, fine, you can buy this game. That was it. That's all we needed. Now that they're sniffing in, not only are they going to like, because this is what happens, right? Government comes in and goes, right, this is the rule now. You've got to do this, and then you've got to do that.
You have opened the door, Greg.
And then EA comes in and goes, yeah, Mr. Government, man. I'll give you this, like, $10 million if you just, like, do this legislation for me. And then he does that, and then the little guy gets screwed. And then this happens, and then that happens. And then before you know it, we're electing fucking Todd Howard to president.
Hashtag resist.
resist. Don't trust the government, man.
Fight the power, baby. Fight the power.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Loot boxes. It was all so easy before. You don't mind paying for a game. It just, we don't mind paying more if it feels like value for money. We just don't like getting penny anteed for here, there, and everywhere. When you've already paid 40 or 50 or 60 quid for a game, to have to go and start a quid here and a quid there and 4 quid there and 15 quid for this pass and this. Oh, it's just, and it's just the kids that are coming up now, they kind of expect this to be the way. Mm. And it's not good.
I'm going to take the controversial side on this, and Kim, sometimes I'm going to chime in on this as well. Mm-hmm. I don't mind loot boxes. I honestly don't really care. I don't have an addictive personality to where I get hooked on gambling and things like that. So I've never been one to pump money into a game.
How many times have you been in a casino this year?
Probably two, maybe three times.
How many times have we been in a casino, Mark?
Oh, sorry, I've been several.
None for me.
Yeah. I mean, I have a casino literally about 2 miles away from me, so I could go as often as I want. I just don't.
Got a one-armed bandit in the chippy.
Oh, yeah.
But I know where Greg's coming from, because if loot boxes are part of the game and you use in-game credits, like Forza...
Right.
Because before Forza had loot boxes, they had the wheel spin. It's basically the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. It's a random chance to get a car or money, in-game money. And I don't mind that as long as it's part of the game. When you start paying for them with real money, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah. No,
Hold on. I to take the stance, the way Mark is describing it, absolutely, I have no problem with that. But I also don't have a problem with a game that says, you know, you can buy this with in-game currency, or you can pay real money to try and speed up and you know, like the Battlefield battle packs, you could buy those to give you, you know, a better
know about that.
Kit.
If it's cosmetic.
Five quid for a BFG is wrong.
If it's cosmetic, yeah, that's okay. But if it's giving a player advantage in multiplayer, I don't agree with it. And that is what you basically just said.
No. You're correct.
Can I just jump in, right? I'm going to play devil's advocate for Greg on this one. And it's not just because I bought the sniper shortcut kit for Battlefield 4, right?
Because I hate
it's not
snipers.
Just that. I can tell you now, right? I can tell you right now, hand on heart, buying that kit did not make me any better of a sniper.
I promise.
All I now have is the better gun.
That is exactly why I got it.
It doesn't make me any better at the game. And the only reason I got it right was because my brother, who was very good on Battlefield, he headshots like a motherfucker, right? He was playing on my PC. We were having a gaming day, and he was like, oh, this rifle's shit, Rich. And it was like the first rifle with like 8 times. And I was like, I don't play sniper, Dan. So I bought it, and he was playing it, and he was class. And then I was like, yes, I'm going to play sniper now. Because, and I don't know about you lads, but I'm kind of an engineer, and I sort of stick with that.
Yeah, sometimes engineer or medic, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes support, but I'm kind of an engineer, right? So when I do sniper, I'm like, right, I want to relax. I want to chill out at the back of the fields. No one going to bother me. And I'll just sit there and just snipe teeth all day. But I'm not very good. So now that I have the best gun, it makes me feel better, but it doesn't actually make me better. So that, like Greg said, is okay. But this is where, I'm just going to throw this out there now. This is where the problem with these microtransaction bullshit things comes in, is when Destiny 1 comes out with this specific feature, and then in Destiny 2 they say, oh, now you've got to pay for it. That's annoying.
Sarah in the chat, I'll quote her exactly because it's very, very good. She says, as long as I have a chance to earn everything in-game with in-game currency, I'm fine with it. If you want to waste your money on something you can get for free, go for it.
Yeah.
So, amen.
I agree with that.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then, let me tell you this, right? Like I said, because I play engineer and stuff, right? I'm really good at that class, and I smashed all those unlocks because I'm good. I like playing it, and I played it all the time. So, sniper, if I'd put the hours in, I would have unlocked it all for free. save myself £6, and I'd probably be decent. So I was lazy and I was stupid, but it, like Sarah said, it's I could have earned that for free and probably would have been a better sniper at the end of it, being able to use that gun.
I did exactly the same on PS4 version of Battlefield 4 when it first came out, because I'm not good with a sniper, and when I did want to play as a sniper, the first gun you get is shit. So the odd times I did want to play as a sniper, I wanted a decent gun. So that's, yeah.
But if you take a step back, is it not really fucking cynical that, you know, the guns should just be there as progression anyway? They've put it behind a paywall just to squeeze more money out of us.
Yeah. Well, it could make it easier.
The gun is progression. It just gives you a shortcut if you don't want to spend like 15 hours getting good at the sniper to get the good gun, and you just want to be lazy and go, do you know what? I'm going to run around and go 20-0, 20-1, and that's 20 deaths, one kill. If I want to do that with the best gun, then, you know, that makes you feel better. And if you're stupid enough to throw £6 away, like me and Mark are, there you go.
Jeez. All right, now, Kim, real quickly, yes. I want you to chime in on this. You've been very quiet. I want to hear your thoughts on this. We've been all kind of being vocal, so...
All right. Well, I'm like Sarah. You know, I would rather play the game and enter it that way than have. But I have in my past when they like Mark and Rich, when them little, you know, shortcuts have come up on the sales and they're like dirt cheap, like $2. Well, yeah, sure. I'm gonna throw a couple bucks at it, and you know, did it help me? Not at all. My bigger pet peeve even than this, like I said, I agree with Sarah, is the DLC. You know, you buy the game for $60. The next thing you know, 3, 4, 5 months down the road, they've got DLC coming out, but even though you've bought the game, you still have to buy the DLC, or you have to buy the premium, you know, whatever the thing is, if you want to play the map.
Oh, sorry.
You know that bugs me more than that.
I don't mind that as much as long as it's quality DLC. So if you finish the story, you know, I would love to have Mass Effect Andromeda. Is not going to have any extra story.
Yeah.
You know, I was so invested in that game, I would love there to be more story to that. So I feel shortchanged, and I would be happy for DLC for that. Because, I mean, if we remember in Mass Effect 2, some of the fantastic DLC there was for it. So it depends what it is. It's a case-by-case basis, I suppose, really.
Yeah, because to Kim's point, one of the things that pissed me off to no end was what happened at the very beginning of really the 360 PS3 generation, where we had these DLC map packs coming out.
It
split the player base, and you felt it wasn't even that you necessarily felt compelled to get it because the maps themselves were great, but oftentimes it was all your friends had bought the map pack. So suddenly, for you to be able to play with them, you had to buy this map pack. Yeah. Otherwise, you would get locked out of games. And that was even more offensive to me than anything that's gone on this past year, to be perfectly honest.
Why is Modern Warfare 2 not on backwards compatibility yet? Why is it not being regenned and re-out? Because I want – that was my favorite one. I want it back.
Well, I was just going to say, Modern Warfare 2 was one of the ones for me where it pissed me off because I didn't buy the map packs for that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends did. And when we were playing together, it knew what map packs we've got. So you think it had just picked the maps. Put my friends in a game and kicked me out.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have this DLC, you need to buy it to play this.
Yeah.
And it's Activision. And speaking of Activision,
bastards.
Did Destiny 2 not get just raked over the coals like EA did? Because EA and DICE got killed for Battlefront 2. But Destiny 2, literally, they capped and were limiting how much experience you were earning in the game to basically force, you know, the progression to slow.
That's as nearly as bad as somebody slowing down your phone because it's old. Who would do that?
Mate, I agree, right? So for anyone who doesn't realize, okay, the EA stuff, in Battlefront 2, when people twigged that you had to spend like £40 or something to buy Vader in like cumulative points and stuff, EA was like, all right, Soz, we'll take that out. We'll make it so you don't need as many points in the game to unlock Vader, so it won't take you 40 hours. But then they lessened the amount of points you earn. So it was exactly the fucking same, and that's exactly what happened with Destiny, wasn't it? Yeah. What they were doing was...
That's what he was doing behind the scenes. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah, he was grinding, and it was like, okay, I'll do this raid or whatever for 10 hours. Oh, I'll get all the points doing this. But people didn't realize, because at the time, when you saw your skill points, it was showing up the correct number, but it was only giving you a fucking smidge.
Right, right. And then Bungie comes forward, and they're like, oh, oops, sorry. We admit we were doing that. Well, we're not going to do that anymore. Yeah. And it was just like it was all forgiven. But EA and DICE got raked over the coals over their situation, but somehow Bungie got a complete pass for that whole situation. And to me, that situation was just as bad as Battlefront 2.
I agree.
Yeah. Why can't people be like, listen, right, do you remember back in the day where your game would come out and then it'd be like a year later, it'd be like, oh, guys, do you know what? This game that you stopped playing for a little while because it got a bit boring, here's like an expansion pack to get you back in the game. You know, it's $10 or it's $20. It's an extra 40 hours of gameplay. You know, it's going to be another 3 years before the next game comes out. So this will tide you over. Now it's like, right, okay, how many DLCs are we going to get? And they're like, well, I'm not sure yet. How do we choose? And it's like, well, the game's not coming out for another 5 years. So let's make sure we have about 10 in plan ready just in case. Why? You know, The Witcher, all their DLC, right? Most of it was free, wasn't it?
And then the big stuff.
Well, but the two big ones were payable.
The
big stuff
came out. The two big ones were payable.
They were worth the money.
Yeah, they came out exactly. They were reasonably priced. They were expansion packs at expansion pack rates.
With new locations as well in the second one.
Yeah. It reminds me, right, of the horse armor times. Because before Oblivion, Morrowind had two big expansion packs, right? In fact, okay, this is every Elder Scrolls game since Morrowind, right? You've got Morrowind. Morrowind came out on PC, for anyone who can't see. I'm showing the game. Morrowind on PC. And then Tribunal came out as an expansion pack. And then Blood Moon came out as an expansion pack. But also, they had about 7 free little add-ons that you could download off their website. Back in the day, you had to download off their webpage. Then Oblivion came out, which is there. And everything was paid. Nothing was free. At all.
Yeah.
Not a single piece of DLC I don't think was free. And then Skyrim came out and they were like, all right, let's
do some
free updates.
Between, you know, when they first came out and the newer one, the Oblivion, came out, they probably sold loads more copies of Oblivion than they did of the other ones. Yeah. So the cut just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
And that's totally.
A slight to them. It's just they moved with the times, like everybody did. But what the game developers didn't realize was that's not what we wanted. We don't mind paying. Like, for example, I'm telling you now, Blood Moon, right? This expansion pack is worth every penny. In fact, it's probably better than the original Morrowind game, this expansion pack, right? But we don't get stuff like that anymore. We get, you know, 3 maps, or we get, oh, this is a new sword, or here's how to build a house.
Yeah.
Here's a motorbike for Zelda. Yeah.
I will say this. In terms of, most DLC and microtransactions these days is focused in and around games that have multiplayer in them. And to that extent, the model I want to see developers and publishers take is the model that Titanfall 2 used, the model that Halo 5 used. To be perfectly honest, I was fine with that. And that is cosmetic things or microtransactions that can be paid for that are either cosmetic or are upgrades for non-competitive game modes, and then give the maps for free. So Titanfall 2 is a great example of probably the best example of a game doing it right. Every map that came out for that game was free. But they have microtransactions.
I think I can speak for us, all of us boys, to say that we love cosmetics.
Well, yeah, I don't have a problem with cosmetics. I mean, you know, if you want to pay to have lipstick on your soldier, go for it. That's okay.
Yeah.
Guys, listen, right. The thing is, Valve picked up on this years ago. Like 10 years ago, right? And because the PC market was being ignored until recently, now the PC is like massive again. But that's probably because like the PS4 and the Xbox One are essentially just PCs now. Everything's the same. But back in the day, 10 years ago, right, Valve picked up on the idea, right, okay, Team Fortress 2, let's do constant, like, weekly updates, free maps, free content. And then at some point they were like, how do we make extra money? I know. People can buy hats. All right,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Why? And game developers right. on consoles didn't pick up on that until recently. They're starting to now, and Dota's the same and stuff. It's like, give all the content for free because you literally make millions of dollars over fucking hats. Millions.
Right. And nobody complains about that. Everybody's cool with complaints. That.
So yeah, if you wanna do a pink Darth Vader and charge a fiver for it, fucking go for it. But then if you bring out a new map, you wouldn't have made as much money on it anyway because everyone's gonna buy that pink Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Well, you know, or yellow Almost Darth everybody. Vader or whatever. But yeah, Valve picked up on it, and then other people started getting into it in the PC market. It's finally creeping over to console, and hopefully this is where we're gonna go, where they don't
pink
split the
payables for the win.
Pink Darth Vader. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic discussion. Again, you know, if you're listening to this and you've got thoughts, you could be part of the chat. You could be part of our weekly podcast, if you will, by just hanging out and doing bad Darth Vader impressions.
Or send us a speak pipe.
Or send us a speak pipe, yeah.
Yeah,
just
indeed.
Come check out our site, ocpod.com, or go to our Twitch page when we're live. Again, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 11 p.m. in the UK. If you're somewhere else, figure it out. We don't have trivia this week. It is Christmas time, so we've given Jason another break. So that means we should.
What
go
is
to
it this
releases.
Week? What is it this week? Last week it was a hair transplant, you know. And, well, what is it this week?
Well, this week he was getting his backside waxed, and it went a little rough. It went a little rough, and he can't properly sit down now. So
I heard he was like a Santa Claus at the local mall, and it all went very wrong.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Bad Santa. All right, anyway.
Bad Santa. Anyway.
New releases, guess what?
I've got a sound effect for the new releases.
Please, let's hear it. That's about sums it up. Nothing major coming out this week. But we did hear about the Xbox Games for Gold. So, Kim, why don't you do us the honors of talking about that real quick?
All righty. Your Games with Gold for January 2018 are Xbox One, The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3, available January 1st to the 31st on Xbox One, of course. And that's the one I'm looking forward to. I didn't even know there was a Van Helsing 3, so, you know, I was also excited.
No, there was a 2.
Well, I knew that, but anyway, it's in my pile of shame. We also have Zombie. That'll be available January 16th to February 15th on the Xbox One. And then on the 360, which will also be backwards compatible, we have Tomb Raider Underworld, available January 1st through the 15th, and Army of Two, available January 16th through the 31st. So, I don't think it's a bad list. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's a bad list.
I really enjoyed that Tomb Raider game. I've completed that Tomb Raider Underworld, and I quite enjoyed it.
Really? Is it not all, like, pixelated tits, like pointy tits, is like Madonna jobs?
No, it's really
or
good.
Or is it better?
And I even played a DLC for it. It was good. It's got a good story as well. I like Underworld.
Really?
It's not Underworld as in Coronation Street. No, it's proper Underworld.
So is it worth getting, Mark?
Yeah, for free. Yeah, absolutely. I played it on 360 years ago. And I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. In fact, I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast.
I don't think it's that strong a list. I mean, Zombie was that Wii U game.
I bought Zombie, and yes. I don't like it.
Yeah, so. It is. It's not the greatest of games. It's an okay list.
It's too hard.
But look, anybody thinking that they're going to be getting great games during Christmas time on the Gold, you know, Games with Gold or PlayStation Plus, I think you're going to be disappointed because the realities are that they want you, the gamer, to buy the newer stuff for Christmas time, so they don't want to be giving away great games during really high holiday season sales periods.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say that there's a lot of sales that, on as yeah. well, yeah.
That's why the sales are on.
Yeah, they'll save that for March and April when it's slower.
Yep.
So
build it up
right,
to E3 to
slower.
Build up numbers, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of slower, Robin, we need to talk.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, again? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to... Sorry, please. I know what I said on Veteran Gamers last night was maybe bad towards you, but I didn't really mean it. It was in jest.
I'm not going to sash it tonight. But Robin, the Yawg is slowing down. God. It is. We're at the very end of the road, so to speak.
Yeah. So going to be recording a 33 minutes on the off week there in between Christmas and New Year. So look forward to that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Victory Achieved will carry on. And what Victory Achieved is you finish a game to the credits, take a selfie of yourself with you and Santa Claus. You get bonus points for Santa Claus. You tweet that off to @OC_podcast and we put you in the draw. We're going to draw it at the end of, well, next week probably. Next Saturday would probably be a very good time to draw that. And you could win $20 or 15 quid gift card for PSN, XBL, or Steam, or Switch, or Alcoholics Anonymous, or anything you want. You know, really, we'll put money to whatever you want to. We'll sponsor you to do whatever. Whatever you want that money for, we'll sort it out. But that money would be yours. And this week, people have completed some games. Caliburn M has completed Titanfall 2 and Assassin's Creed off his Yawg list. And Dastardly Jabby, he finished Call of Duty World War 2. I think he prefers Battlefield as far as the story goes. I don't think he was overly impressed with the story. And Cybul27 finished Shantae, Half Genie Hero. He said it wasn't difficult, but he's really crap at games. Took him a long time.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And that's about it. It is winding up. People are busy. You know, there's gaming going on, and PUBG is taking over as well. So, yeah, and the completions will come up. There's been some fantastic weeks. I mean, there was weeks there with 25 completions in a week. It's just brilliant. And Victory Achieve will always continue. I think that's our little
you know
trademark.
What? You know why Victory Achieve will always continue?
It's the sound bite at the end.
It is. They people want to hear this. You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. Yeah. Little known fact: I pulled my groin muscle doing that.
Ouch!
All right, we are going to wrap this show up now. It is time to pull the curtains down, turn off the lights, and wrap things up. So,
sexy time.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. If you're listening to this podcast, come visit our Twitch page, twitch.tv/OC podcast. Check us out on mixer.com/OC podcast, or even on YouTube. We are there, youtube.com/OC, sorry, Overseas Connection Podcast. That's a little longer one, but just look us up, Overseas Connection Podcast. We're pretty much everywhere you would be watching. And if you're listening, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. We would love a review because reviews help us be found. So wherever you're watching us or listening to us, if you can give us a review, give us a review. Hopefully 5 stars. If not, don't then. But yeah. All right. While Robin hurts himself, I think we need to hear from a very lovely woman that we miss dearly. She'll be back soon. But go ahead and play that funky music now, Mark.
You like us, we like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, so we're going to do shout-outs. This is supposed to be a speed round, so make it fast, make it quick, pass it along to the next person. Kim, go.
I would like to thank you guys and wish you all a Merry Christmas. I would also like to thank our shatters today, and we've had a few. We have Andy, BG1973, Baron von Glauer, Fagwint, Martin, Poke Poo, RCGC, M. Brashler was in there. We've had quite a few. It's been a lively bunch. So Merry Christmas to you all as well. How about you, Mark?
I want a big shout out to Rich. Happy birthday, Rich. It's now your birthday. You are officially old. I want to wish all our listeners and viewers a very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you for the New Year episode next week. Robin?
Happy Christmas, everybody. Hope you have a great time. And on Christmas Day, you open everything up and it's lovely and it's what you expected. And I really hope you get lots of really nice stuff. But most of all, family. Family's great. So if you can have family that you don't hate completely, and even if you do hate them completely, reach out to them.
For those who saw Al Murray last night on the TV, family, family.
And and remember your neighbours. So if you've got elderly neighbours, knock their door, give them some shortbread, or make sure they're okay on Christmas Day if they're alone. Reach out to someone. Happy Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week, and thanks for listening. Richard.
Merry Christmas. And at Christmas, sometimes it can be quite lonely. I tweeted this the other day. I apologise, my voice has just been coughing. I'm not trying to do dramatic effect.
God, you're so sexy all of a sudden.
sometimes it gets really lonely at Christmas. And the best thing to do is go on Steam right now and purchase the Half-Life Collection, which includes Half-Life 1, Half-Life Source, Opposing Force, Blue Shift, Team Deathmatch, Half-Life 2, Episode 1, and Episode 2 for £1.57. That's Christmas. That is merry cheers. So thanks a lot, guys. And happy birthday to me. Cheers.
All right. Well, thank you to the four of you for joining me today on the podcast. It's great to podcast with you guys. I don't think we've had a podcast this big in quite some time, so lots of fun. Rich, a very special happy birthday. And again, congratulations on the engagement. Doing it right, my son. Very good. Shout out to our shatters and our listeners. You know, again, we, as Kim noted before, we do this because, one, we like to hear ourselves talk, but we also really do like to entertain our friends and family. And part of that is putting on a podcast on a weekly basis. I want to shout out some new followers on our Twitch channel. We've got PoolGuy39, Support for Support. Skullduggerer is following us once again. Thank you, Skullduggerer. Ted Duvet. Sumu99. And Fabulous Cool Hand. All of them subscribed. We thank you for following us, and hopefully we have entertained you enough that you will keep watching us and hang out sometime, play some games. Most importantly, as I think everybody has said, Merry Christmas. Have a fantastic Christmas time with your family and friends. We look forward to talking to you in the new year. And Nicole, we miss you. We love you. And Fraser Moo and Stan Moo, thank you for lots of laughs over the past week in PUBG. And that is it. I'm done. Let's put the end music on.
Happy Christmas to you. Oh, it has to be Run DMC. Please, beloved Run DMC. Yes!
For listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.